It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome to episode 41 of Taylor Talk, everybody. It is December 2nd. This is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
And Diane.
Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing peachy.
So, Belle.
So, Adam.
Since you missed the last episode, I'm going to victimize you for a moment.
Oh, good God.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wooden Shoe.
Wooden Shoe like to stop telling jokes?
Wooden Shoe like to know?
I feel like Belle's punchline was a little bit better.
Yeah.
Rude.
I tend to
agree. Hey, Maya.
Hey, what?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ewan.
Ewan who?
No, it's just me.
Oh my god.
Oh well.
That one was actually a little bit funny.
A little bit.
Hey, last week I promised everybody two knock-knock jokes, so I had to do it.
Can I just apologize on behalf of your jokes?
No, those are great jokes. Stop it.
Okay.
So yeah. Another quick follow-up to the last episode is the koala follow-up. I said something about how I thought they had fragile rib cages and asked Australian listeners for a response. And sure enough, we got a couple responses. So Abby is one of the people that helped us, Abby from Australia. And she said that koalas do, in a way, have fragile rib cages and looked it up. And basically what it is it says, while most mammals have 13 thoracic vertebrae and 13 pairs of ribs, koalas only have 11 pairs. They're sensitive around their abdominal area and need to grip onto something when being picked up. So see, I'm not crazy. Koalas do have fragile rib cages.
Aww.
I guess you guys don't care. Thanks.
That's cute. I mean, that they have to, like, hug something while being picked up.
Yeah, they hug you. They're koalas.
That's adorable.
That's really cute.
And then I also
want a koala
wanted
hug.
To... What?
I want a koala hug.
One day, Belle. One day. So I also wanted to give a quick shout out to @Android on Twitter, who wrote like this really nice Tumblr post about Taylor Talk, and it's really, really cool. So we'll link to it in the episode guide. That way you guys can check it out if you so desire. They talk a little bit about the early days of Taylor Talk. So if you're a new listener, it might be interesting for you. But for now, we're going to let Maya give us some of the calendar items.
Okay, so on December 3rd is the Ripple of Hope Awards honoring Taylor, and this event is at the Marriott Marquis in New York City, and it was organized by the Robert F. Kennedy Center for Justice and Human Rights. So Taylor is in New York City already, and she's going to be attending that tomorrow. On December 5th, Taylor is going to be co-hosting the Grammy nominations concert with LL Cool J, and you can watch that on CBS at 10 p.m. And on December 10th is the American Country Awards, so you need to go vote for those. So go to theacas.com and vote for Taylor, because she's nominated for Artist of the Year, Best Female Artist, Single of the Year, Best Female Single, and Best Female Video. So let's make sure she wins all of those.
Go vote.
Yeah.
Now. Anyways, on New Year's Eve, Taylor's going to be performing at the Rockin' New Year's Eve in Times Square, hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Also on January 9th, Taylor's up for 3 nominations for the People's Choice Awards. Yay! She's nominated for Favorite Female Artist, Favorite Country Artist, and Favorite Song for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Thank you for the calendar, ladies. Diane, give us the news.
On November 29th, Taylor Swift attended the 2012 ARIE Awards in Australia, where she presented the Best Male Artist to Gautier. Taylor also took the stage to perform I Knew You Were Trouble. You can watch that video in the episode guide for this episode. On November 30th, Taylor's performance of Begin Again aired on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. You can also find that video in the episode guide if you'd like to watch it. And finally, yesterday at Kiss FM's Jingle Ball 2012, Taylor performed We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, State of Grace, I Knew You Were Trouble, You Belong With Me, Love Story, and Red at the Nokia Theater in LA.
Thank you, Diane. Let's move on to You Know Your Swiftie When / If Swifties Rule the World.
The first one comes from @JazzAtham. I'm not sure how to say your Twitter name, but this person says, you know you're a Swiftie when everything, just everything, has to be red.
Next one comes from BounceRuby88 on Twitter, and she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you start jumping up and down with excitement because it's December. Taylor loves December, Christmassy month.
Yay.
And it's Taylor's birthday month.
Yes, also true.
Of course. Oh, we didn't have that on the calendar. How dare us?
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Okay. Updated calendar item. December 13th.
Taylor's 23rd birthday.
All right. Now we have it on the calendar.
Okay.
Next mini segment submission is, you know you're a Swiftie when your 8-year-old brother knows all the titles to Taylor's songs. Haha, mine does. I've done my job. And that comes from @jade_taylor13 on Twitter.
Aww.
Okay, our next one is from Audra via email, and she said, if Swifties ruled the world, sparks would fly whenever a Swiftie and Taylor smiled. #TaylorPuns.
I like that one.
I like it.
This next one I really like. It's from KTXOOX, and they say, if Swifties ruled the world, we would all have an adorable cat named Meredith.
Aww.
I want one.
I still want my mini Persian. The next one comes from SwiftieTaylor12 on Twitter. If Swifties ruled the world, Taylor Swift would have her own McDonald's Happy Meal box.
Yes!
That's making cute. Me hungry.
I want some Mickey D's right now. And the last one comes from @SpeakTFearless on Twitter, who says, if Swifties ruled the world, award shows would no longer exist because Taylor just dominates them all anyway.
But I think that they should exist, and she should just win everything all the time.
They would just have Taylor-themed award shows.
There we go.
It already happens. All right, thanks for all those mini-segment submissions. Remember, you guys can all submit them to our Twitter account, @TaylorTalk13, or email and a bunch of other various methods of contact you can find on TaylorTalk.org. This week's song discussion analysis is going to be on All Too Well, which was a special request from @Jazz_Althumb on Twitter. So let's get rolling with that and just kind of, let's start with the story behind the song, according to Taylor, and we'll see what you guys all think about it. So Taylor said it told a story so well in such a full way. It starts with meeting someone and all the details about that innocent beginning, and it follows the story all the way to the bitter end. And it's a really emotional song because it does show why loss is so painful, because it was once good and you can remember it. So, thoughts on the story?
Well, I remember that I read an article at some point where she talked about how after the breakup, she was not able to write anything for 6 months. And like, knowing what you know about Taylor, that like she's the kind of person that is writing constantly, like that seemed pretty crazy to me. For 6 months, it was so painful that she could not write a single thing. And then finally, she went into a writing session with Liz Rose and came up with this. And
wasn't like, the song originally 10 minutes?
There was so much stuff in it that it was 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they had to trim it down.
I want to hear the original 10
minutes. Me too.
Song. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. I will sit and listen to it on repeat.
Same here. I really want to hear it. Wow, this song is really intense.
Yeah, for sure. When I first got the album read, I listened to this song on repeat for days and days, and I got to the point where I was like, oh, are there other songs on this album? Because I thought it was just All Too Well.
You know, it's funny. I sort of got stuck on this one, too. I remember there was a while when it was like, this song and like one other that I was just going back and forth listening to over and over and over again. It took me like a couple weeks to even get to the other ones.
Yeah.
The first one that I was listening to on repeat is I Almost Do, but then when I moved to this one and kind of got focused on it, it's just, it made me cry. This is one of the two songs on the album that literally makes me cry almost every time I hear it. Like, I literally can't take it. It's just, especially if you're really listening to it and really focusing on it, it's just like, it's impossible not to tear up a little bit.
Well, I think this is one of the songs that does tell a full story, because I feel like every other song, or most of the songs rather, are a segment of a story. It's a part of a story, where this one is a full story beginning to end, and I think that's really unique with this song.
I mean, I think Taylor has also talked about how, like, this song kind of, it was the first one that she wrote for the album, and it kind of represents the whole album really well. It's like most of the story of what the album is about in one song.
That's true.
That makes sense, though, because the album, for the most part, is about one relationship beginning to end, and this is one song about that relationship beginning to end. So yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so let's dig down into these lyrics a little bit deeper. Let's get a little more specific. Like, why don't we kick it off and talk about the scarf?
I think that this is an incredibly relatable thing that she puts in this song, because, I mean, for those of you who have been in a relationship and it's ended badly and it's really deeply hurt you, there's generally like something specific that seems almost random, but yet is incredibly significant to you, and like remembering the relationship and remembering like these little details about it and how good it was at one time. And I think for Taylor, as she mentions in the song, she remembers a scarf that she left at the sister of the person this song is about. Her house. And that she thinks about that scarf and she's like, oh, you probably still have it and it probably reminds you of me. And that's like that physical thing that reminds her of all the emotional things about that relationship.
Right, and the scarf even makes two appearances in this song.
It does. And that's one of the things that I really like about this song from like a story writing standpoint, is Taylor put the scarf in at the beginning almost in kind of like in passing, like she just mentioned it and you're like, okay, there's a scarf, whatever. But then at the end of the song, the scarf comes back and the meaning of the scarf is almost like changed a little bit, because then you realize that, oh, the scarf is really important. And I think in a sense it almost represents the relationship. Like, let's look at the lyrics for a second. What's that
like line? You just left it somewhere, you just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But the line at the end that I really like, yeah, it says,
you keep my old scarf from that very first week.
Yeah.
It reminds you of innocence and smells like me.
Yeah, so, like, the scarf just comes to mean so much more than what you thought it was.
How does she know? How does she know that he has it?
You know what's kind of interesting? And, like, okay, so at the end, you're talking about the reappearance of the scarf at the end. Where'd that line just go in the lyrics we're looking at? Right here. So, you kept my scarf, it reminds me, and it smells like me. It's like, come on, dude. If you want to smell Taylor, just go buy a bottle of Wonderstruck.
I think you're missing the point.
Yeah, I think you
but
are.
I'm actually not missing the point. There's actually a reason I cracked that joke, though.
Okay.
Is, what's it called? The Wonderstruck. It's talking about how, when Taylor first came up with the Wonderstruck, it's interesting to me in stories how she ties everything together, because you were just talking about reappearing images. When Wonderstruck first came out, Taylor was talking about how she wanted to create a perfume because of the memories associated with scents. And that's where I was going with that, where that line ties it all together. She's talking about how that scent is a memory.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think Taylor put that line in her song as a way of promoting her perfume.
No, she wasn't promoting her perfume. That's not the point I'm making.
I see your connection, but at the same time, I'm 100% sure this line literally has nothing to do with perfume. Particularly Wonderstruck.
It does, because the scarf smells like Wonderstruck.
No,
guys,
it doesn't.
If you listen really, really closely at that line, you're going to hear in the background, "By Wonderstruck."
Hey, I would, yeah. I would do that. Why not put
subliminal message.
By Wonderstruck.
If you listen to it backwards, it tells
you.
Yes, that's exactly it.
By
Wonderstruck.
Oh,
but
Adam.
No, Maya, I wasn't talking about it being a Wonderstruck promotional advertisement, whatever the word is. I was just talking about her repeated use of things. We're talking about the repeated use of the scarf, and I just was bringing up the repeated use of smells as a means to show memories.
You know, and another thing is, like, that line would suggest that somebody told her something about the scarf as well.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, how does she know that he still has it?
Like, I feel like somebody would have told her.
Well, she knows that she doesn't have it, and the last place she saw it was at this person's sister's house. So
well,
I guess
maybe
she
like
assumes
threw it out or something. Like, she doesn't know.
That's sad.
No, I agree with Belle that somebody said something to her, because you got the part where it says, because it reminds you of innocence and it smells like me. Like,
I mean, that much could be her assumption about why he still has it, but I feel like somebody could have told her.
Came up with that in her own head.
Yeah, that much, but I think it's possible that somebody could have told her something like, oh yeah, you know, he was talking about you and you mentioned that he still had your scarf or something. And then that could have led her to be like, well, why does he still have it? Maybe he's keeping it because of, you know what I mean? And that could have led her to, like, wonder why he hasn't thrown it out yet or something.
Right. And the thing to me that would bring up is, like, if this person still has the scarf of Taylor's, does that mean he's still holding on to the relationship too?
Yeah.
And also, why haven't they gotten back together if he still misses her and she still misses him?
Because they are never, ever getting back together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's another thing we can
bring up. Adam, go talk to your friends.
The scarf was in the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together music video.
You're right, it was. The scarf made another appearance there. This scarf is, like, getting as famous as Meredith.
You know what the funny thing is? Like, I remember when I first heard the song that I immediately thought of those paparazzi pictures where they were wearing the scarf because it's, like, one of the most famous ones of them. So it's almost like I feel like maybe she does these things on purpose, where it's like she writes about something that we will remember and like be able to see and be like, oh yeah, I remember I saw that picture of when she was wearing a scarf with him.
And that's possible. And you remember when We Are Never Getting ever Getting Back Together came out, and the thing with, oh my gosh, what was it with MTV and like Sway Calloway, I think it might have been, or no, it wasn't Sway Calloway, it was someone else.
Are you talking about the interview with Katie?
No. I'm talking further back.
No, that was Sway Calloway.
Was it Sway Calloway that came in and is like you wrote this about me and then put their face on Jake Gyllenhaal's body?
That wasn't Sway Calloway. That's that other guy. But I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but it was some MTV something or other.
Yeah, it was the promo for the VMAs.
Right, exactly. But going back to what we were saying about how it seems like the male character is also holding on to the relationship. If you look at the end of the song, the very last verse, it transitions from her remembering it all too well to you remember it all. So it's quite possible, but that's a fair question. Like, why are they never ever getting back together if they both seem to be clinging onto this relationship?
Because there's that horrible part of you that even when you go through a nasty relationship, there's a period where you go through when you still miss it, even though you know it was nasty. You miss it anyway.
That's possible. And do you know what else I think? Is, sorry to interrupt you. Were you done?
I guess so.
You can finish if you want.
No, I'll hold my thought. Go ahead. It's fine.
No, I was just thinking because Taylor said that this was the first song she wrote for the Red Album, so it could be fresh out of the relationship before she decided We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
It wasn't fresh out of the relationship, it was 6 months later.
Okay, 6 months later, as fresh as it could be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but this was the first song that she wrote for the album, so this was as fresh as when she started writing again.
Right.
Yes. It was the first song she wrote for Red. She said that in the Stories Behind the Videos video.
I mean, my impression is that it took her a while to get to the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together point.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you have to get all the way to the point where you don't care anymore. And that is a long way from All Too Well.
I feel like going through a breakup is like Alcoholics Anonymous. You got your 12-step thing going on.
Kind of. Or it's slash also like, it's the same thing. Like, you know how they say, if someone you know dies and you go through like the stages of grief.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. I think me and Maya, we were just having this discussion completely separate of Taylor a few days ago about breakups and just like what you go through with them.
Oh goodness! Yeah.
And there are like it's true though. There's like all these different stages you go through when you're dealing with a painful breakup.
Yeah, that's true. So then, what stage would this be? Do you guys think
this is the like right after? I feel like this is the recently after it, when you still miss them.
You still miss them, but you're trying to...
You still miss them, but you're also kind of pissed at them because of what they did to you.
And you're selectively remembering things in the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you're remembering the good times and the things that were significant and kind of, like, blocking out the whole reason that it fell apart or not wanting to, like, think about it or feel it yet.
And I think the fact that you bring up the memories is a good transition into the imagery of the song, because there is a lot of detailed images in the song, like very specific memories.
Yeah.
And you know what scared me about this song?
What scared
me? Is like, there are particular verses in this song, verses/choruses, because all the choruses are different, where like, I'm sitting there listening to it, and I realized at some point that like, I had the exact same experience, like, down to the word.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Oh my god. It freaked me out a little bit.
Do you know what scares me about the song?
What?
Is the fact that this male character is as bad a driver as Taylor is.
He's not a bad driver.
I mean, he almost ran a red light. Taylor's getting into like two accidents on the same day, and
he was distracted by how pretty she is, and he almost ran a red light. I think that is completely understandable.
Yeah, I agree.
It's sweet, but it is still very dangerous. He needs to pay attention to the road.
Although, in all fairness, if I had Taylor Swift in my passenger seat, I might accidentally run a red light, too.
Yeah.
That could be very distracting.
Adam, you would just run into a pole.
Yeah. What's the pole?
You would drive into a pole.
Maybe.
I don't think you'd be able to drive at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'd be like,
does green mean go? What does red mean again? I don't remember. Taylor's here. Oh my gosh.
Red. Oh my gosh. Like, Taylor, red.
OMG. Taylor's in my car. Taylor's in my car. Sorry, I got off topic, but let's talk about the imagery of the song. Does anyone have any particular moments that, like, you can just envision in your head?
The dancing around the kitchen in the refrigerator.
I was just going to say that. When I first heard this song, that was the lyric that made me cry. She got me crying at the word refrigerator. I don't know why it was that word, but it just seems, like, so normal and so, like, sweet, almost in the fact that it is so normal. Just, like, hanging out in the kitchen with this guy that you're really crazy about, and you're just having the best time just dancing around in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, it's so adorable.
I like your little sigh. Are you crying right now,
Diane? No, I'm not crying.
Like, are you crying at the word refrigerator again? Is that all I have to do? Just be like, hey, Diane, refrigerator.
Maybe.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, KitchenAid, my gosh. Refrigerators.
Oh, my God.
I'm not crying, I promise. I'm just laughing.
You sound like you're crying.
She does.
It's because I'm laughing. That's why. Okay, somebody else talk.
I think that the line that gets me is like, it was rare I was there. And it's just like, that ties together all of the imagery of the song. Just that part in your head where you're like, I realize that like being all, like from a logical perspective, like being all enamored with somebody and in love is not like a rare thing, but it feels like it's incredibly rare and special when it happens to you.
I don't know. I think Taylor has this really interesting ability to like, throw away like really lyrically amazing lines. Like I think about autumn leaves falling down like pieces into place.
Oh god, yeah.
It's one of those lines that you probably wouldn't notice maybe the first couple times, and then once you do hear it, you're like, whoa.
Wow, that's really specific and really, yeah.
It's so good. And then you're like, why didn't I notice that the first 15 times?
Right, and the thing that I think too is incredible about that is like it's a short phrase, but like every word is specific and it's used in such a way that there's nothing that's in excess, and it's just perfect.
Yeah, she really is ridiculously good at creating very powerful images with only a few words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like choosing the exact right words to fit in the exact right place to give you the image of like what she went through.
So sticking with the whole lyric discussion, what are your guys' favorite lyrics that you can pull out of here? Assuming you can pull out just one set of favorite lyrics.
It's too hard.
I'm gonna let someone else say the obvious one, because I've been saying the obvious things lately.
Oh, are you talking about, and you call me up again just to break me like a promise?
Oh, that's
so casually cool and being
so
honest.
Casually, that line, absolutely, 100%. You call me up again just to break me like a promise, so casually cruel in the name of being honest. That
I don't know if you guys
absolutely
have seen the little, like, cartoon thing on Tumblr, where it's like a little cartoon guy, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna listen to Taylor Swift, that will make me happy. And it's like, he's listening to All Too Well, and then it gets like, casually cruel in the name of being honest, and he's like, on the floor, like, crying.
That's pretty
much how that goes.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. Like, that's such a cool line when she says, so casually cruel in the name of being honest, because it's like, the whole honesty is the best policy, but the truth hurts, and I don't know, she just ties up so many concepts into such a simple line.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the person isn't being honest, they're just being mean. Like, there's a difference between being honest and being mean, and it's like this person is being mean and calling it being honest. which is the sucky part.
Right, and it sounds like just an excuse, like, oh, well, I'm only being honest. It's like, yeah. Well, you don't have to tell me that if you're
going to be... Ooh, and I have been there before. I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But that... Mm-hmm.
See, and while that line is, like, a highlight, I think that whole verse is, like, brilliantly written.
Yeah.
That whole verse is so powerful, not just lyrically, but, like, musically as well, and the way that she's saying it, because the song picks up so much at that part, and it gets really intense. And also, the way that Taylor sings that line is really vocally challenging. Like, she sings it really high.
But then the interesting part is, like, right after that, when it gets to "I'm a crumpled up piece of paper lying here," then it gets all soft again. And you're like, oh, no.
Right, and I think in a way that parallels the, like, breakup process, because when you're actually in the moment when you're breaking up with someone and you're having those fights, it is really intense.
Yeah.
And then the aftermath and the storm is calmer, and you're just like, oh, I'm alone now. You know, it's a different feeling.
So do you guys, in that case, I think you already answered it, but you feel the music accurately portrays the emotions of the song?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true of every single song on this album. And I know that was the goal of Taylor's in writing this album, was making the music of every song sound exactly like what it felt like to her.
And right, that was the goal of it. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I think the instrumentation of it is really cool, too. This is random, but, like, particularly the electric guitar is really... I don't know why, but I just think it's really...
And the subtle buildup is actually done really well, too. To coincide with, like, your emotional response to the way that the song is written. The way that the lyrics are written to build up a certain, like, emotional response in you. The track that goes along with that, is they did a very good job of being very subtle with their instrumentation, with how they built it up.
So, overall, we do feel the music of the song portrays the emotions accurately, which is Taylor's goal. So that's perfect. Let's move on to the secret message of the song, which is...
Maple lattes.
Diane actually made a discovery about this maple lattes that guarantees 100% who the song is about.
Pretty much. So I'm sure that we all remember the famous, is it US Weekly?
Us Weekly.
It is, and it's actually the same, very same paparazzi photo we were talking about earlier of Jake and Taylor walking through with the scarf, walking through the park and everything.
Yes, so I actually have that magazine saved, and I have that in front of me. And if you have one, too, you can follow along. It's on page 76. You can read along.
You sound like a teacher up in the front of the classroom. You're like, follow along, class.
Yes, turn your books to page 76. This article talks about, you know, Taylor and Jake Gyllenhaal hanging out in New York and going on various dates and stuff. And under PDA Parade, that title... if you look down to about the middle, it says, "En route to the grocery store, Thanksgiving morning, they stopped by Gorilla Coffee in Park Slope and surprised staffers with their sweet-natured affection. Taylor sipped Jake's maple latte to try it and was giggling a lot," says one barista. She looked like a high school girl in love for the first time.
Barista.
Anyway, she looked like a high school girl in love for the first time. Jake was smiling at her the whole time. It was kind of sweet to watch. So that's where the maple latte comes from.
You know, I don't think I've ever actually had a maple latte, and now I kind of want one, just out of plain curiosity.
I don't know if it would be good.
I know, it sounds a little gross to me.
Yeah, maybe, but, like, there's a lot of things that sound weird that turn out to be incredibly good. I'm the person that'll try,
like,
weird things at Starbucks all the time.
Maple flavor scares me. In general, that's totally random. This is not related to anything. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Maya. We'll forgive you for going off topic.
It scares you.
So the maple lattes, like, I guess that's a bond that Taylor and Jake had.
Well, it's the exact same thing as the scarf. It's another, like, thing that incredibly reminds you of a specific memory in a specific time with that person.
When they got those maple lattes?
Wait, you what?
Where were they when they got the maple lattes?
It was a place called, like, Gorilla Coffee.
No, but, like, where?
I think it was in New York. Okay, so I just looked it up. This place is in Brooklyn, New York. Gorilla Coffee. Something I'm really curious about is when Taylor drops these hints, like she has the scarf repeated all the time. She's got maple lattes here in the secret message. So what is her intention when she puts this stuff in there? Is she trying to tell us as fans who the song is about, or is she trying to give a message to Jake?
Both.
Yeah, I would go both.
You think both?
I mean, I'm going to say this much about Taylor. Okay, she has gotten to the point in her career where she is not going to sit there and say to you in an interview, quote-unquote, this album is about Jake Gyllenhaal. But without using those five words, she has said it told us in every other way.
I mean, she sort of built her career on being the girl who writes about everything that happens to her, details and all. And, you know, that hasn't changed since she was 15 years old.
Exactly.
I think so. It makes sense that she would still do it.
So, barring the fact that those five words have never been actually spoken, I'm pretty sure that with all of these hints and clues, I'm sure she knows that we know.
Yeah.
Right, so the moral of the story is go to Brooklyn, New York and get a maple latte.
Yes, apparently.
And listen to this song and wear a scarf.
Yes.
I want to do it. We should take.
Oh
a
my
field
god!
Trip.
Yeah, when we're in New York, dude, let's go there with scarves on and, you know, be playing the song in our headphones and order maple lattes. Let's do it.
All right.
Like a Taylor Swift.
It's a plan, guys.
It's on the 2013 bucket list.
So to wrap up our discussion on All Too Well, big question. Will it make it into the Red Tour concerts, and how do you think she'll portray it live on stage?
Yes.
Oh, I think it has to make it into those concerts.
I would be shocked and horrified if it wasn't.
I think it has to make it, too, just based on the response that the song has gotten.
Yeah, like considering she already knows that it's a favorite, I don't think she would not put it in.
Right, so we all unanimously think that it's going to be in the show, so let's try and figure out how this could be portrayed on stage. Of course, we're going to be 100% wrong, because Taylor always catches us off guard and does something we completely don't expect. But we could at least have fun and try, right?
I mean, I don't know, but this one could maybe be the, like, acoustic set song. I think it would fit well there.
I think it would fit well if she ends up doing what she did when the Speak Now tour with the acoustic set, this would be a very good song for it.
Yeah, it would be really interesting, I think, to see her perform it by herself. Like, no big band, no nothing, just, like, sing it.
That's actually what I was thinking. For some reason, in my head, the imagery I get is thinking of, like, the Back to December performance, where it was just, like, her and a piano. You know, not necessarily a piano, but just her. Though.
I was thinking more Last Kiss. Because Back to December was, like, violins and a bridge and dancers and snow and, like, I don't know. I feel like it's a song that can stand on its own.
I just think that this song could be performed both ways. Like it could be performed with, like, a big, you know, setup with, like, maybe snow, but maybe not, you know, like, maybe, like, autumn leaves or something. I don't know, because she mentions autumn. So it could be performed, like, Back to December, but then also, since the song is, like, so specific and sweet and sad, it could still be performed, like, Last Kiss in an acoustic set.
Do you think she'll wear a scarf when she's singing it?
That's over the top.
No. No. 100% no.
Yeah, no, Adam, she's not going to be wearing a scarf.
She's going to hand out scarves, though.
No, I have it. You guys, I have it. Okay, so she's going to be doing an acoustic set, singing the song with just her and her acoustic guitar. Leaves are going to start falling from the ceiling, and the occasional Starbucks gift card.
I would be happy with that.
Right? How cool would that be if, like, Taylor started handing out Starbucks gift cards at her concerts?
That would be horrible.
Be awesome. She's done all these endorsements. She should be doing Starbucks, too.
She has enough promotions already. I cannot deal with anymore.
Starbucks should be a tour sponsor.
They totally should. I agree.
Taylor promotes them enough.
I agree
but
fully.
In all seriousness, I think that this song is like, it's like you almost don't need a crazy set or leaves falling from the ceiling or whatever, because just from her words, you can see it in your head.
Yeah, very true.
Like, her sitting there singing it on her own would be enough.
I concur.
Thank you.
Wait, I actually agree with Maya. That's
I know,
weird.
This is weird. I feel uncomfortable about this.
Someone should write this down and, like,
this is like a moment in history.
We're going to add this to the calendar.
The day Adam agreed with Maya.
So, if anybody out there has their own thoughts and feelings on All Too Well, please leave us a voicemail on taylortalk.org and share your thoughts and feelings with us. That way we can do a follow-up next episode with some of your thoughts. Cool? Thumbs up. So, Belle, two thumbs up, one thumbs up. What do you think?
I'm giving it two thumbs up.
Maya?
Two.
Diane?
Two thumbs up in all caps, best Taylor Swift song ever.
Okay.
I give it two thumbs up also. I think you should all go... Wait, I was going to say you should all go listen to it, but I'm sure anybody listening to us has already listened to it.
Go listen to it again. What the heck?
There you go. Listen to it again. So, since I told you all to leave voicemails on your opinions of All Too Well, we actually have one that someone left before this episode was recorded, so let's hear from Sarah from the UK and see what she has to say about All Too Well. Sarah?
Hello, it's Sarah Mel again from the UK. Just thought I would tell you what one of my favourite songs is off Red. One of my favourite songs I've read is All Too Well because I can relate to it to a past relationship that I had with somebody I was engaged to, and we ended up splitting up and it didn't end good either. And he ended up hurting me, and I've got all those memories in my head of what we used to have, and just this song kind of sums that up in a way. And I just love how Taylor can write a song that I can relate to without knowing it, or just ride out emotion and I listen to that song, I'm like, oh my God, that is so what I went through. And I've been there. I'm over this person now, but just listening to that song, it just like kind of makes you feel a bit better because you know that you're not the only person that's been through that. And I just love it. And I just love Red. And keep up Taylor Talk because I love that too.
All right. Thank you for that, Sarah. Again, you can all leave voicemails too on taylortalk.org. So, carrying along with the episode, what would Taylor do? What would Taylor do if a fan threw a bra on stage? And that was submitted by @Swift_lover on Twitter.
I don't know what to say about this.
That one's a baffling question. I think she would just try to continue the show, and I'm sure that Grant would enjoy it.
I have a feeling the show would take a pause.
There might be an awkward moment.
Because everyone would be caught
off
guard. They would go into shock, and they'd be, like, laughing.
Yeah.
Right. I think definitely the audience would react more than Taylor would. I think maybe, like, Taylor might glance at it and probably think in her head, like, okay, that's really weird. But then keep singing
like,
and keep going.
As a fan at a concert, I would be confused if that happened.
I personally would be busting up laughing.
Like,
I would be in hysterics.
That would be very strange.
And I have a feeling of all the band members too, the one that would have the closest reaction to me, I think, would be Amos.
Amos.
I think he would find that hilarious.
I agree.
Would Taylor do? I mean, how funny would it be if Taylor was just up there and she's like, if this is yours, you can claim it at the security desk after the show?
That happened when I went to see Maroon 5. And he, like, yelled at the bra.
Oh, he did?
He was like, you were very naughty. Why did you jump up on stage like that?
that's funny.
Like, I don't know. He was, like, accusing it of being naughty. And then he took it and hung it on his mic stand. So,
so he made it a thing. Yeah. I saw One Direction in concert over the summer.
Oh, goodness.
And there were girls that threw their bras and underwear on the stage. And they just kind of laughed about it. They're like, and they just kept going.
And underwear?
They didn't really know what to do.
Am I crazy or are the guys in One Direction too young to have that happening to them?
No, they're like 18.
They're all legal, so.
I think the fans are too young to do that.
Yeah, you have a point there. Good point.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Taylor, did anybody lose a bra?
Did it accidentally jump off your body and onto the stage?
No, I think Taylor might like hold it up and be like, "Oh my gosh, that's so cute." I think she loves the color of what fans are wearing at meet and greets, right?
She's such a classy person. I think that she would just ignore it and keep going. Realistically.
Yeah, but can you imagine the discussion after the show?
Yeah, she'd probably be like, that was weird.
How many points would that get on YouTube?
And be like, you're a band, and be like, you guys, what was up with the bra?
Wasn't there a video that went viral of a bra being thrown at Justin Bieber?
Yeah, like a water bottle or something. A water bottle.
Oh,
no, no.
Okay,
the best thing about that ever was Grant's tweet.
Yeah, someone threw a water bottle at his head. What a good idea.
And Grant said, Grant's tweet was, whoever threw that water bottle at Justin, you are my hero.
I remember that.
That was so funny. No, but like, seriously, I feel like there might be this like moment of awkward silence, and then she would just continue the show.
Probably.
But remember, you guys remember when she was doing that interview and she was talking about the Speak Now tour, and she's like, I'd be performing and I'd be sitting there distracted thinking about kittens and cats and can I have a cat and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I can imagine her just in some random, you know, performing in some random thought process and then be like, oh, a bra.
There's a bra here now.
She would probably like just continue with the show. And then when they change the whole setup on the stage, like one of the crew people would just pick it up and get rid of it.
Yeah, probably.
Or they might do that while she's still singing, because yeah, know, she could like have to walk over to that portion of the show. I mean, of the stage during the show, and she could trip over.
I mean, I don't think a crew person would come out in the middle of a performance, and I think Taylor has enough stage presence to not like fall on a bra.
Well, here's an idea.
I don't know, dude. She's not that coordinated.
Here's an idea: when the Red Tour rolls around, one of us should bring a bra to the show and throw it on stage and see what actually happens.
Yeah, not Adam, it. How about you do that?
Yeah, you can throw your bra.
You can throw a bra, Adam, yeah, but I'm not kidding. Doing that.
The one you bought at Target.
Adam bought a bra?
I never what? Brought a bra!
You might for this.
Starting rumors
I will
about
buy
Adam.
A bra for this.
Adam, buy a bra with kittens on it.
That or one of those ones from Victoria's Secret that are like covered in rhinestones.
What if I bought a bra and threw it on stage and attached a note to it that said, Taylor, come on Taylor Talk, please.
No, please do
then
not.
Then she will never come on ever.
Ever.
Well, she'll definitely
like
remember
ever.
Us.
Like ever.
Like ever. Taylor puns.
Yeah, so thank you to @Swift_lover for submitting that. That was a funny one. That's what we like for What Would Taylor Do? Just funny random situations and stuff like that. So be sure to get in some more What Would Taylor Do's. Yeah, get in more What Would Taylor Do's. It sounded like I wasn't finished with the sentence, was it?
You're finished now.
I'm finished now. So what are Swifties listening to? Jasmine emailed us and suggested that Swifties listen to a song called Love Is Easy by a band called McFly. She sent in the email, they're very popular, they're a British band, and they're very popular over there, so we listened to the song, and it's pretty catchy, don't you think?
Yeah, and yeah, it's,
I thought it was
it's one
really
of those songs where you just,
catchy.
Like, start smiling and nodding your head. You're just like, da-da-da-da. Yeah.
It's a feel-good song.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
And on top of it, the band made a cameo appearance on Doctor Who, which is everybody's favorite show on this show, except for Belle.
Because Belle just has not jumped on the bandwagon yet.
I've started watching
also
it.
In a Lindsay Lohan movie called Just My Luck.
I started watching it. It's just not like, I just don't feel obsessive over it.
Of what,
don't
Doctor
worry.
Who?
Yeah. We'll get you there.
We'll get you there. Doctor Who's amazing. But anyway, the band is called McFly. Song Love Is Easy. Thank you, Jasmine, for emailing that. Remember, again, for all the mini segments, get all your submissions in this week for next week's episode. All of our methods of contact can be found on taylortalk.org. There's a contact tab at the top. Or you could just leave us a voicemail, because that's our favorite.
Yay, voicemails!
Voicemails! So, for episode 41 of Taylor Talk, we discussed All Is Too Well. Give us
all
feedback.
Too well.
All Too Well, whatever it's called. We discussed All Too Well, so if you have feedback on that, give it to us, and we'll chat about it the next episode on a follow-up, if it's good feedback. So, episode 41 is over now. This has been Adam,
Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
Saying, have a great day, guys. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, virtual hand hearts.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.